Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are getting into a really critical document, the Executive Summary of the Western Cape Infrastructure Implementation Plan 2050.
That's the WCIP 2050.
Exactly. And for you, this is basically the shortcut to understanding how the Western Cape is planning to, well, build its future.
It's the roadmap.
Okay, let's unpack this. This document isn't just another high-level strategy paper. So what is its core mission, especially when you put it next to those other documents we've seen?
That's the perfect question, because what's fascinating here is that the WCIIP 2050 is the action layer. I mean, we've seen the big vision in the WCIF 2050.
The framework.
And the strategy in the WCIS 2050. The implementation plan's whole job is to take those big ideas and turn them into, you know, actual shovel-ready projects.
So it's about making it real.
Precisely. Its mission is to drive infrastructure-led growth that creates sustainable, equitable, and resilient communities for everyone.
And it's not just doing this in a vacuum, is it? I noticed it aligns with some huge benchmarks.
Oh, definitely. It's explicitly tied to the Sustainable Development Goals, the National Development Plan, and the province's own strategic plan. They're signaling this is a massive cross-cutting effort.
Okay, so how do they manage that scale?
Well, the core methodology is very structured. The plan uses a phased approach, so you have short, medium, long-term timelines. And it's all built around five critical infrastructure sectors.
And these sectors weren't just picked out of a hat, I assume. They mention a prioritization matrix.
Exactly. That matrix is basically an objective scoring tool. It analyzes where investment will have the biggest multiplier effect and, you know, tackle the most urgent needs.
Like what kind of needs?
Things like basic service backlogs and climate vulnerability. So the five pillars that came out of that are social, energy and water, economic, technology, and this is critical ecological infrastructure.
Ecological. That feels like a big shift, integrating natural systems so formally.
It is a very serious move.
Here's where it gets really interesting for me. These five sectors are supposed to deliver four clear outcomes. So what are residents actually supposed to see change in their daily lives?
The outcomes are very focused on that. First, just increasing access to basic services for all households. That's the baseline.
Okay.
Second is enhancing social infrastructure. So think better schools, better clinics, and in the right places. Third is about spatial transformation and resilience.
Which means?
Moving jobs closer to where people live, cutting down commute times, and building up defenses against, say, flooding or drought. And finally, efficient mobility, reliable transport.
That all sounds great, but these projects cost a fortune and need buy-in. The plan talks a lot about redefining public-private partnerships. What does that actually mean? Is it just a new buzzword?
That's a crucial question. The redefinition is about moving beyond just paying a private company to build something. The new focus is on shared value creation.
Shared value.
The idea is to structure deals where the private partner's profit is directly tied to delivering public benefits. Things like local hiring quotas, skills transfer, or hitting certain green targets.
So their success is tied to the public's success.
That's the goal. It aligns the incentives.
That rigor seems vital for project selection, too. They can't fund everything. You mentioned a bankable, investor-ready pipeline. How they built that?
Through a really systematic four-step process. But the most important part is the evaluation, where they use what they call the panoptic principles.
Panoptic principles.
It's a kind of triple lens. Every single project has to be checked for its impact on climate resilience, its economic multiplier effect, and its ability to deliver spatial equity. All three.
So every dollar has to do at least three jobs.
You could put it that way, yes. It's about maximizing impact.
And what about the funding for that pipeline? The public can't pay for all of this.
No, absolutely not. And they're very open about that. The plan is to blend traditional funding with innovative alternatives. They're pushing things like land value capture.
Can you break that down?
Sure. It lets the public sector reclaim some of the increase in property value that's generated by new infrastructure, mm-hmm. like a new train station, for example. That money can then help fund the next project.
So the development helps pay for itself.
In a way, yes. They're also looking at green bonds and other specialized funds to bring in private capital and ease the burden on the public purse.
So when you step back, the WCIIP 2050 is, it really is a transformative blueprint. It's weaving together foresight, collaboration, and these new financing models.
It is. So what does this all mean?
Right.
It means this is the document that's supposed to translate all that high-level ambition into real, tangible projects on the ground. The aim is to enhance equitable access to opportunities and services for everyone who lives here.
And it seems like it's designed to be a living document. I mean, the minister's statement in the summary says the commitment is to continuous learning by doing.
Which is key, because the road ahead is uncertain.
It is. And maybe the most provocative thought here is that we tend to see infrastructure as this fixed, permanent thing. But this plan seems to suggest its future depends entirely on constant evolution, on adaptation. And now we have a much clearer sense of how they intend to start that journey.